United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit is now open and in session. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Be seated, please.
Before we begin our session today, I think Judge Plager would like to note the presence of some students from Indiana.
Yes, we have in our audience today several students from Indiana University and law school, and I wanted to welcome them to our court. They're visiting here in Washington, and this is an opportunity for them to see our patent lawyers at work. And I'm not sure they will or are wanting to be patent lawyers, but maybe you'll convince them. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Our first case this morning is number 15-1494, A&J Manufacturing, LLC versus ITC. Mr. Carlson.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court, I've reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal. In this Section 337 investigation, dealing with accused infringing grills imported from China, dual-mode grills, the Commission excluded the great majority of the accused grills from importation, but did not exclude a limited number on the basis of its interpretation of one of the patent claim limitations, that of openable cover. We believe that the Commission imposed an unduly narrow interpretation of openable cover and have asked the Court to review and reverse the Commission's interpretation. Starting with Claim 1 of the...
If we uphold their interpretation...
Then there is one other... If you uphold their interpretation of openable cover, Your Honor, then there is one other grill that forms a question that we also ask the Court to resolve.
The exhaust.
Correct. And in particular, does the cover of that particular charbroiled grill include an exhaust, as the claim term provides? But to return to Claim 1, openable cover is the issue and the claim limitation that was interpreted by the court. The Commission's brief agrees with us that an openable cover, that a cover can comprise two parts. The preferred embodiment shown in the patent is a semi-cylindrical cover that covers over the cooking space and encloses the grill space. But there is in the prior art and intrinsic to the patent prosecution, there was a considerable amount of other prior art that shows two-piece covers. The Commission said, well, okay, that word openable modifies the term cover, and that means that all parts of the cover, if it's a two-part cover, both parts need to be openable. And frankly, as the Phillips case provides, a person of ordinary skill in the art would not interpret a two-part cover to require that both pieces open. There is art, for example, that shows a fixed piece and an openable part that slides within it. Both the pieces are considered to be the hood or the cover.
How do you deal with the prosecution history, which is... I guess at page 10321 of the appendix.
And in particular, Your Honor, talking about the question of whether there was a disclaimer?
Well, it's not just a disclaimer. It's also the prosecution history can be used to interpret the claims.
Yes, certainly that's true. But starting from the order, and I will get to that in one moment, but the idea of openable does not require movable, as the Commission initially interpreted. You think of an openable tent or an openable garage. Well, only the tent flap moves, only the garage door moves, but it still can be openable in order to access the interior. And it's the same with a grill cover. What you really want is to be able to open the grill cover in order to be able to access the interior and manipulate the food that you're cooking. Now, the question is, once we have that straightened out and realize that the Commission misinterpreted that term openable,
well,
then we
try to address the language there, because the language seems to be a bit of a problem for you. At best, it would result in a barbecue grill with chimneys connected to exit ports on the fixed portions of the oven smoker enclosures, which are not openable, i.e. not covers.
So that's the next question is, Once we've got openable cover figured out, do we look to the prosecution history to import that limitation, the fixed portions limitation, as the commission did? This court's precedent
requires... Do you agree that the language that I just read to you is against you?
It is ambiguous at best, Your Honor.
What's ambiguous about?
Here's the circumstance. What an examiner was trying to do during prosecution is he had these two references. One, McLean, which was a portable, very simple structure with very shallow pans on a wire frame that you could take to a picnic or something like that. The second was Cox, a gigantic 700-pound structure, the specification itself said very heavy, with chimneys and exit ports and including venting or exhaust beneath the cooking surface, underneath the cooking surface. The argument there that was made in the appeal brief that Your Honor is referring to is this. A person of skill in the art would not be motivated to combine McLean and Cox. And the statement was made was that you couldn't do it. It's impossible to do because you cannot...
But you're not addressing the language I quoted to you.
The language is this, that where it says IE covers, that means that the exhaust is not going to be in the cover because Cox provides that the exhaust is below the plane of the grill. And the cover, as interpreted in the specification and in the prosecution history, means the enclosure in the area above the grill, Your Honor. So that if we have exhaust below the cover, what it's saying is below fixed portions, i.e. covers, meaning you're having exhausts that are not in the cover. So even if you could combine, which would be impossible to do because of these two vastly different teachings, what you would end up with is not a combination that the examiner urged would anticipate or render obvious these patent claims because the exhausts are below the level of the cooking surface. They're not on the covers. And that's what that IE not covers reference means. It's ambiguous, perhaps, because the interpretation that the commission relied on is a view, or one view, as they say in their brief, of how you might say this. You might say, look, what they're saying here is that covers are not movable. Fixed portions cannot be covers. But the other interpretation is the one that I just gave you, that if you tried to combine these two things, and the argument was there's no motivation to do that because it's impossible to do and it would be an unworkable combination. But if you were able to do that, and if you tried to do that, you would still not have exhausts on the covers because Cox teaches these exhausts up from underneath. And in fact, the commission's brief recognizes that. So we're going back to the case law that we've cited to the court, which is that linear technology versus ITC case, talking about can you import this fixed portions limitation into the claim from deep in the prosecution history and have it limit the scope of the claimed invention. You can only do so if, under linear technology, there's a clear intention to limit claim scope by words or expressions of manifest exclusion. Clear intention, we'll get to in a second, but to limit claim scope. Remember that the argument here that's being made in the appeal brief has nothing to do with the claimed invention. It has to do with showing the examiner that even if this combination were possible, it would not result in the combination that the examiner was trying to urge. So it's certainly ambiguous, and under the Omega Engineering precedent of this court, ambiguity cannot form the basis for this kind of importation of limitation, this kind of disavowal of claim scope. There have to be manifest words of exclusion or restriction. I want to suggest to the court that that means you're talking about our claim now. You know, we'll say, we don't claim this. If there was something in the prosecution history that said, we don't claim a cover that has fixed portions and an exhaust on the fixed portions, then that would be a manifest exclusion. This is an ambiguous statement relating not to the claims and not to the scope of our invention, but to this proposed combination that the examiner made. It's at best ambiguous. There are multiple interpretations, including the one that I just gave you. And on that basis, and under the precedent that this court has stated in the linear tech case, you cannot impose a disavowal of claim scope under those circumstances. Let me ask, and I'll just go very briefly because my initial time at least is going short. Even if you disagreed with us with respect to that first claim, claim 10 is a means plus function claim. The language that Your Honor just quoted regarding fixed portions is an argument that was made in an appeal brief in a separate section dealing with separate patentability only of claim 1. It cannot be imported under the Patent Office's own rules. It cannot be relied on by the examiner regarding the patentability of claim 10. And yet the commission, again, in violation of this court's precedent, took that fixed portions limitation and applied it to claim 10 as well.
This is the openable cover means.
Correct, Your Honor. Yes. And as we've indicated in our brief, under the MPEP, there is a particular rule that the Patent Office applies saying you can argue patentability separately, and if you do so, the Patent Office will not combine claims for the purpose of analyzing each argument. They won't group the claims. So the language that Your Honor referred to, the fixed portions limitation that the Commission imported, was not used in Claim 10 at all. There was a similar argument saying it's impossible to combine McLean and Cox, and the examiner ultimately agreed that you should not do that. But the fixed portions thing that the Commission relied on to limit the claim did not appear there. My time is up for the initial presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Chen?
May it please this Court. The Commission properly found that Four Grills imported...
You'll have to speak up a bit, please.
Yes, Your Honor. The Commission properly found that Four Grills imported by intervener Charbroil and a group of six redesigned grills that are imported by intervener's Outdoor Leisure products do not infringe any claim of the 712 patent. I'd like to first address appellant's arguments with respect to the openable cover in Claims 1 and 17 before going to the openable cover means in Claim 10. Now, appellant's counsel argues that the Cox provides exhausts that are below the plane of the grill. The Commission respectfully disagrees with A&J's counsel's characterization of Cox, and I'd like to refer the judges to appellant's brief at pages 33 to 34, which reproduces figures 1 to 3 of Cox. Now, the examiner in the office action right before the PTO appeal brief by A&J relied on Cox for disclosing openable cover. Referring to figure 1 of Cox, which is on page 33 of appellant's brief, the examiner found that Cox discloses a barbecue grill having two cooking units. And these two cooking units are denoted by elements 12 and 16. The examiner found that each cooking unit is covered by an openable cover, and this is denoted by elements 38 and 40, and that each of these openable covers includes at least one exhaust. The examiner cited three exhausts, and these are denoted by elements 18, 22, and 92. It's very clear from figures 1 through 3 of Cox that exhaust 18 is in the openable cover enclosure of the grill and not on the openable cover as the examiner found. And this is discussed in the ITC brief on pages 8 to 12. If you look at figure 3, the exhaust element 18 has an opening, which is denoted by element 54, and that is on the grill enclosure and not on the openable cover, which the examiner cites as element 38. And also on the other cooking unit, if you look at exhaust 92 has an opening into the grill enclosure, and that's also not on the openable cover that the examiner cites as element 40.
You can't tell too much by the figures that you're citing, but I see your point.
So A&J criticizes the Commission for using the word fixed in its construction. But A&J used that word during prosecution to overcome an obviousness rejection over McLean and Cox. And in fact, before the examiner even relied on Cox, The examiner had cited other prior art that's discussed in the ITC brief, such as Nemec and Gennard, also for teaching that the exhaust is on fixed portions of the cooking units. And this is discussed in the ITC brief at pages 8 to 12. In all of these rejections, the examiner recognized that the claims called for the exhaust to be on the openable covers. But he reasoned that placement of exhaust on the covers instead of other parts of the cooking units were mere rearrangements of parts that would not affect the function of the cooking units. And so this was the state of the rejection. And in order to overcome this McLean over Cox rejection, A&J argued in his PTO appeal brief that even if you were to combine McLean and Cox, the combination would still fail to teach the limitations wherein the first cover includes at least one exhaust and wherein the second cover includes at least one exhaust. Because, and this is quoted from A10321, at best it would result in a barbecue grill with chimneys connected to exit ports on the fixed portions of the oven smoker enclosures, which are not openable, i.e. not covers.
Does the specification ever define what fixed portions means?
The specification does not, other than figures 1 to 3 and identifying the openable cover, the specification does not go into any other description of what openable cover and exhaust are. The specification does not use the word fixed. The place that the fixed comes from is from this prosecution history in the A&J's PTO appeal brief. And beyond this clear statement that's in the A&J's PTO appeal brief, there are other parts of the appeal brief that's very relevant here. A&J also argued that placing the exhaust on the openable cover is not, as the examiner consistently maintained, an obvious substitution, because prior art such as Oliver taught away from including exhaust on the openable cover. And in view of these arguments, the PTO issued a notice of allowance. Now, the ALJ and the Commission found that a person of ordinary skill in the art, reading A&J statements made in the prosecution history, in view of the specification 2, a person of ordinary skill would interpret that A&J interpreted openable cover to exclude fixed portions of a grill enclosure, and that the exhaust would have to be located on the openable cover instead of on other portions of a grill. And this is discussed in the ALJ's order at A1852 to 857 and the Commission's summary determination opinion at A3918 to 925. And I'd like to also briefly address Claim 10. First, the Commission construed openable cover means and exhaust means as means plus function limitations. On appeal, ALJ challenges the Commission's construction of openable cover means and the Commission's non-infringement findings based on that limitation. However, A&J does not challenge the Commission's construction of exhaust means and the Commission's non-infringement findings based on exhaust means limitations. And for that reason, even if the Court agrees with A&J's construction of openable cover means, it must still affirm the Commission's finding of non-infringement as to Claim 10 and Claims 11 through 16, the dependent claims. And finally, I'd like to address the charbroil grill that's identified in the ITC brief as the charbroil 4512 grill. There was substantial evidence supporting the Commission's finding of non-infringement as to that grill. And this substantial evidence is discussed in the Commission opinion at A31 and the ALJ's ID at A5638, both of which cite to respondents' expert testimony at A13118-120 and A&J's expert testimony, which supports the Commission's finding, because A&J's expert testified that, quote, the alleged exhaust is a space between the openable lid and the grill body. And this quote is from A8341. Even if some evidence detracts from the Commission's finding, A&J has not shown that the Commission's finding is unreasonable. If there are no other questions, I'd like to leave the rest of my time.
Okay, for thank you, Ms. Chairman.
May it please the Court, John Harbin for Appellee Intervenor Charbroil. I agree with everything the ITC's counsel ably said about the open cover means issue. It may be belt and suspenders, but I'd like to add one brief point that we briefed, that the claims require that the openable cover be attached to the each cooking unit. And as we briefed, we submit that means the openable cover is a separate part attached. It doesn't say the openable part of the cover is attached to the cooking unit. So I think that reinforces that the openable cover is the entire, has to be the entire openable, has to be openable in its entirety. But I want to focus my argument on the issue that we briefed under the right for any reason principle, which you only need reach if you do reverse the commission's ruling construction of an openable cover and the resulting non-infringement findings. And that is that we submit the proper construction of the term exhaust. Under the proper construction, there is no infringement for three of the charbroil grills because as to the independent claims 1 and 17, the term exhaust should be limited to the smokestacks type of structure, which is the only support for exhaust in the specification depicted in figures 1 to 3 of the patent. Initially, let me address the standing argument raised by A&J, the appellant, that we do not have the right to bring this issue up on appeal and that we should have filed our own appeal. In addition to the fact that the cases from other circuits A&J cites are distinguishable, we believe that argument is contrary to this court's authority because we put our...
You could have been sanctioned if you filed a cross appeal.
Yes, Your Honor, because we prevailed on all the... infringement findings as to all of our products, so we could not have filed, correct. And we believe that as a party that participated in the underlying 337 action, we can raise any issue that was litigated to support the commission's finding of no violation. And we could cite, among other things, the Surface Technology case 780 F. Second 29. On the substantive issue, we will focus on Claim 1 and 17. I only have a couple of minutes. Because we, as ITC's counsel pointed out, A&J did not appeal the commission's finding that there was non-infringement under claims 10 and 16 as to some grills and that A&J had not put on evidence of infringement as to some of the other grills. As to claims 1 and 17, we submit the exhaust should be limited to the support in the specification. And the narrow definition that A&J gave it in the prosecution history, which we submit is consistent with the ordinary meaning of the term exhaust. The term exhaust does not appear at all in the original 320 application. To overcome rejections, A&J twice proffered broad claims to openings in the cooking unit. To overcome those rejections, A&J limited the claims in August of 2011 to covers that included exhaust at that time with a limitation that were configured according to the fuel used in that cooking unit. And A&J amended the specification in January of 2012 to identify the smokestacks as the exhaust, not just as examples of exhaust. We've cited case law such as Tronco v. Biomet. There was a recent case in August, this August, GPNE Court v. Apple, 830 F3rd 1365. Would the court affirm the construction of the claim term node as meaning pagers because the specification repeatedly referred to the invention as pagers, and in one inventor 131 declaration, the inventor described the invention as a series of pagers. This is not, we don't have the number of uses, but in this case, as the prosecution, the only support again is the smokestack shown in figures 1 to 3, and as a prosecution continued in the December 2011 interview agenda, the applicant equated the smokestacks with exhaust. In the January 2012 amendments to the spec, which is the first time exhaust was used in the spec, the applicant again equated exhaust with the smokestacks, did not refer to the smokestacks as an example of exhaust. So we submit that is how the applicant defined it, limited to smokestack type structures, and many of the grills would not infringe under that construction. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Harwood. Mr. Carlson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Addressing Ms. Chen's argument with regard to this Cox reference, she pointed to the exhibits from Cox that are in our brief, but I'd like to point to the court that in the commission's own brief at page 38, there's a discussion of how the examiner perceived Cox, and it says, the examiner was unconcerned by the fact that exhausts were located on fixed portions of the grill rather than the cover, because having the exhaust on another part of the unit other than the cover would not make the exhaust non-functional. The point is, the examiner understood that cover didn't just include fixed portions during all of that argument. The examiner allowed these claims regardless of the fact that the interpretation that Ms. Chen gives to Cox. In regard to what she had to say about, well, where are the exhausts and where are the channels for the exhaust, reasonable minds can differ. You know, Judge Reyna indicated that he can see what she's trying to say, and maybe others can as well, but that's not the only interpretation. And the point that was raised in the appeal brief did not relate to our particular claims, but to the fact that the examiner was wrong in the notion that it would be obvious to one of skill in the art to combine McLean and Cox because it would be unworkable and it would not result in the combination that the examiner posited. With regard to the statement by Ms. Chen that the exhaust has to be on the openable cover, first of all, note that on is not used in the claim. The claim says a cover includes an exhaust. And what's more, whereas it says in each case for the first and second cooking unit that it must have an openable cover, it doesn't use that modifier openable when it talks about the placement of the exhaust. It merely says that the cover includes an exhaust. So that's further evidence that would lead the examiner away and would lead a person of skill in the art away from this notion that an exhaust must be on a movable part or on an openable part in the way that the commission has interpreted this claim. It's simply from the language of the claim itself teaches away or argues away from this stilted interpretation and this importation of a limitation from deep in the prosecution history of fixed portions. As the court pointed out, fixed portions appears nowhere in the specification to the patent. It was simply raised in the appeal brief and for no other purpose than to point out to the examiner that the combination of McLean with Cox was not workable, an impossible combination, and would not result in the combination that he was suggesting. And it was ultimately withdrawn by the PTO and the patent issued in that way. With regard to the Charbroil 4512 grill, in just the last few moments that I have here, that grill plainly shows a two-part cover. It has a panel fixed to the grill body and then what the commission would call an openable cover, what we would call the second part of the two-part cover. And between the two is this channel exhaust. There was substantial testimony by Charbroil's chief engineer that is where the exhaust testing is done, in that space, what they call the opening. These grills require gas certification to make sure that there's not a buildup of uncombusted gas inside the cover that would cause a flare-up when the user opens the hood. The testing that's done for the certification is done at the exhaust, and Alex Gafford, Charbroil's chief engineer, testified that's where they put their test probe. It's clearly an exhaust, and it is machined into the cover. There was the commission's determination that that was not on the cover is based, first of all, on its wrong interpretation of openable cover, a wrong interpretation of where the exhaust must be. It simply says includes, and the cover itself was designed to include that exhaust. Mr. Gafford testified so. Finally, with regard to the exhaust issue, what Charbroil is doing here is not intervening in support of the commission. Charbroil is intervening to try to oppose the commission's determination with respect to the interpretation of that claim exhaust. And I just want to suggest to the court that it would be bad precedent to allow that to take place and to go into the entirety of an attack on the commission's interpretation of exhaust in that regard. The commission got exhaust right. They got openable cover wrong. They gave us relief that we asked for in part. We ask that we get the complete relief from this court.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carlson. We're out of time. Thank you all, counsel. The case is submitted.